This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, just a quick recap of what we talked about last week. So what did we cover last week? Does anyone remember? Tawakkul. Okay. What is the definition of tawakkul? Putting your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, relying on Allah dhul jalali ikram. Okay. There were a few points that we mentioned with regards to the tawakkul. What were they? Utilizing the means. First of all, is it against the tawakkul to utilize the means? No. Rather, it is part of tawakkul. Utilizing the means is part of tawakkul. Okay. As Allah says in the Quran, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Before that, Allah says to His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to consult with His companions. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to consult His companions, the one Allah and Ajma'in, on various matters. Although He, alayhi salatu wasalam, used to receive revelation, direct instructions and direction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to consult his companions. And consultation is part of tawakkul. Then Allah says, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ. After making consultation, once you have made up your mind and you have made the decision, فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Now, put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, brothers are asking a question. Do we have to have tawakkul in Allah only, or can we have tawakkul on worldly means? So this was the whole discussion last week. That when you use the means, you don't rely on them. Tawakkul has to be on Allah only and solely. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Only on Allah you put your trust if you are true believers. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُ. Only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the true believers rely and they put their trust. And when it came to the means, we talked about the various types of means. The means that are, what was the first category of the means? The means that are compulsory or recommended one. The second one was the means that are permissible. The third one, the means that are, yes, permissible, but disliked. Okay, can anyone give me an example of that? Ruqya. Jazakallah khair. Ruqya. We're going to talk about Ruqya today, inshallah. Okay, and then the fourth one is prohibited. Okay, and fifth one was illusionary. That people think that they are the means, but there's no evidence that they are actually the means. The example of that is what? Sorry? Amulets. Okay. Again, we're going to talk about amulets today, inshallah. Okay. Jazakumullah khair. So today we will be covering a few things, inshallah, that are to do with tawakkul. When we say we have to put our tawakkul, our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we did discuss previously that utilizing the means, the mandatory means, or recommended means, or permissible means, all of them, they are part of tawakkul. And amongst those means is the treatment. If someone falls ill, then having a treatment is one of the means. If someone falls ill, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya ibadallah, tadawaw. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged, he said, O slaves of Allah, seek a treatment. Take a tadawaw. The word tadawaw comes from dawa. Dawa in Arabic, the word dawa, it means medicine. Tadawaw means, in simple words, use medicines. This is what Rasulullah said. Ya ibadallah tadawaw. That is why we find a huge chapter within some of the books of ahadith related to the medicines. Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he has gathered all those ahadith related to various types of medicines that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended, and it is obviously in Arabic and it translated into English as well. The prophetic medicines, At-Tibb An-Nabawi. So those medicines are the means, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has encouraged us to utilize and to use the medicines. Do we say the treatment, getting the treatment or using medicines is compulsory? Is it compulsory? No. Okay. Brother says in some cases it will be compulsory. Such as what? Okay. So during COVID, yeah, remember, there were people who were very reluctant to get the treatment. They did not believe in COVID at all. Someone who is about to die and they are on the, you know, on life support machine. Okay? And they made a will and wasiyah to their family that don't take me to hospital. Okay? I don't believe in it. And let me die if I die. For such person, using a treatment or medicine, would you say is compulsory or not? Compulsory, yes. So this is Islamic ruling. If you are suffering from kind of illness that can be damaging to your life or that can be life-threatening disease, then you have to get the treatment. If the treatment is available. If the treatment is available and it is within your means, then you have to utilize it. What is the evidence of that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made certain things halal in times of necessity. As Allah says in the Quran, that dead animal and other things that are impermissible, that are prohibited. Allah says, فَمَنِ اضْطُرَّ غَيْرَ بَاغٍ وَلَا عَادٍ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. Whoever is in a difficult situation where they have no choice but to use the haram in order to save their lives, then they should do so. If something that is haram has been made halal in times of severe necessity in order to save your life, then what about the medicine that is halal anyway? That is why the majority of the fuqaha, not all the fuqaha, majority of them are of the opinion that if you are suffering from a kind of illness that is life-threatening, then you have to get the treatment. Then you have to. Otherwise, you may be sinful. Okay, in other cases, getting a treatment or using a medicine, it's not compulsory. It is recommended. In some cases, it is recommended. Okay, if you are not suffering from a kind of disease or illness that is life-threatening, then it is recommended for you. Although it can be, this, we are talking about the type of illness that can be, that can possibly be damaging to your health for long term. Okay, then in this case, it is recommended, it is better for you to use the treatment. Okay, so for example, you had a minor injury. Okay, you know you have a pain and everything, but it is kind of injury that is not life-threatening. Okay, but if you don't get the treatment, it can be damaging to your health for life. In this case, it is better. We don't say it is compulsory, but it is better. It is better for you to get the treatment. The third scenario is, you have a minor illness. Have, for example, headache. Okay, or temperature. Or something like this. That you know, it is not life-threatening, but it can be, you know, you are in state of discomfort. What is the ruling on this type of treatment? Using the treatment or using the medicine in this kind of situation? Compulsory, recommended, or not recommended? Huh? No. In this case, not using the medicine is recommended. Okay? It is better. If you have a minor illness, little headache, something that you can bear, okay, say in simple words, a kind of illness or sickness that you can bear. Obviously, in every single illness or sickness you suffer from discomfort, okay, but you bear it for the sake of Allah, believing that whenever a believer is afflicted by any kind of calamity, minor or major, any pain. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even a prick that a believer is afflicted by, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards him for that. And those 70,000 people who will enter into Jannah without reckoning, without any punishment, one of their characteristics is that they don't use the medicine. And the scholars have explained the hadith that not using the medicine in that hadith doesn't refer to the situation when a person is about to die and he says, no, I want to be amongst those 70,000. Let me die. Okay? And he, no. Rather, it is during the minor illnesses where they can bear the pain, and they bear the pain for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, using medicines or getting the treatment depends on the type of illness you suffer from. In some cases, it is compulsory. In some cases, it is better, it is recommended for you to get the treatment. In other cases, it is better not to, in order to have your tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because to certain, although the medicine, as we said, or treatment is one of the means, like any other mean, when you utilize any means, shaitan may get that an opportunity to weaken your iman, and you may end up relying on the means more than on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why if you are suffering from a type of pain or illness that is minor, then you put your tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, brother. Okay, the brother is asking, what is the threshold between minor, how do we differentiate between minor or serious? Yeah, as he said, if it, the first one is life-threatening, that is clear-cut, okay? The second one is that is not life-threatening, but it can cause long-term damage to your health, okay? That will be considered as a major illness, serious illness, okay? The third one is minor, something that is not going to affect your health for long run, but it causes discomfort. You are suffering from a pain. Okay, as you just gave an example, you know, headache or temperature for a number of days. Okay, you know it's not going to be there forever. If you bear the pain for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll be rewarded for that, inshallah. Okay, so treatment in terms of medicine, in the form of medicine, it is one of the means. There are other ways of treatment, and one of them is ruqya. What does ruqya mean? Okay, verses from the Quran that are recited. Okay, they are called ruqya and du'as. Okay, yes, ruqya, the word ruqya actually linguistically means protection. The word ruqya means protection. And as a terminology in the books of Ahadi, so in the statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it refers to the recitation of some verses of the Quran, the dua, or permissible statements. Okay. Does it have to be in Arabic? Does the ruqya have to be in Arabic? Yes. Okay. Huh? Okay. Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach any ruqya? Huh? Which one? Okay, Zakumullah khairness. When our modern, you can say, modern concept of ruqya is that you sit down and you read certain verses from the Quran, such as Suratul Fatiha, first few verses of Suratul Baqarah, Ayatul Kursi, last two verses of Suratul Baqarah, last few verses of Suratul Ali Imran, and probably last few verses of Suratul Hashr, Suratul Ikhlas, Suratul Falaq, Suratul Nas, and add some du'as all together. That is in the form of a session, we call it ruqya. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not teach ruqya in that particular form. I'm not saying it is not permissible. Okay, don't get me wrong. It is permissible. Okay, because we are combining verses of the Quran, the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ, the du'as that are du'as and supplication that Rasulullah ﷺ taught us or he recommended. They are all permissible. But what I'm trying to say here is the ruqya can be done by reciting only Surah Al-Fatiha. It can be done by reciting only Surah Al-Ikhlas. It can be done by reciting only one single dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. A'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tammati min sharri ma khalaq. It is complete ruqya. Likewise, the Prophet sallam taught a dua. There are many, many duas in the hadith of the Prophet sallam. Each one of them can be classed as ruqya. It does not have to be a full session of 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or 1 hour. If it is that only, if someone reads only one dua, or one surah, or one verse, you don't consider it ruqya? This is a misconception. Ruqya is basically to recite any ayah of the Quran. It has to be relevant, obviously. The ayat of the Quran, or surah, from the Quran, or number of verses, or number of surahs from the Quran, or one single dua, or number of duas from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also It is also permissible to do ruqya in your own language. This is something that may be new for some. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked a question about the ruqya, because this is something that was very common during his time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about the ruqya, because people used to have various types of ruqya, and even some people were known to be expert in doing ruqya, and some tribes used to be known as the tribe, you know, majority of the people within that tribe, they are the one who are raqis, they do ruqya. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about this, all these types of ruqyas. By the way, the word ruqya is singular, and the plural of the word ruqya is ruqa. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about the ruqa, the various types of ruqyas, if they are permissible. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I'ridu alayya ruqakum." You should present your ruqyas to me. You should recite them to me. So let me check and verify if they are permissible. And then he gave a generic principle. He said, "La ba'sa birruqa ma lam takun shirkan." There is no harm in any kind of ruqya as long as there is no statement of shirk. As long as there is no words of, there are no words of shirk within the ruqya, within your recitation, within what you are going to say, within what you are going to recite, if there are no words of shirk, then he said, la ba's. There's no harm. That is why it is permissible to do ruqya in your own language. For example, ruqya is what? What is the purpose of reciting ayat of the Quran and the dua of the Prophet ﷺ? To ask Allah for shifa. Yes? So when you make dua, do we say that dua has to be in Arabic? Does dua have to be in Arabic? No. In some cases, it is probably not good to make dua in Arabic. When a person makes dua and he does not know what he's saying. And again, we have this mindset. Okay, person does not know any Arabic, neither he tries to learn any Arabic. He is unable to recite the Quran. He is unable to read the Arabic alphabets. And he asks the question, can you please recommend me a dua, a specific dua from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ? Yes, there are a number of duas. The Prophet ﷺ has taught us to be recited on various occasions. Okay. But if you are unable to read the Arabic, then what is the point of making dua in Arabic if you don't understand the meaning? You may end up making dua against you. Did you not know the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he said, when a person feels, you know, so tired, and you know, he's tired to the extent that he cannot concentrate in his salah, or the person needs some rest, what did he say? He, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, let him sleep and then pray afterwards. Why? He, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, because if he offered the salah while his concentration is not there, he may be making dua against him within the salah rather than making dua for himself. And the example of that would be, instead of saying Allahumma ghfirli, Allahumma ghfirli, with the letter ghain, the person say Allahumma ghfirli. Okay, what does Allahumma ghfirli means? The word afara, or afara, means to humiliate someone. So Allahumma ghfirli means, oh Allah, forgive me. And instead of saying Allahumma ghfirli, you say, oh Allah, humiliate me. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. And unfortunately, this is the case with, I'm sure I will not be exaggerating if I say, this is the case with the majority of the Muslims. In salah, we stand before Allah. We have memorized the du'as of ruku and sujood and tashahud. But how many times we try to even go through the translation and the meaning of these du'as? We don't. When it comes to learning the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the salah is the most important part of our religion. And every Muslim is required to stand before Allah minimum 5 times a day. So imagine for the past 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years, you've been reading this dua in your ruku and sujood and you never try to even understand the meaning. Very unfortunate. So if you understand the meaning, then no doubt, making dua in Arabic and particularly the duas that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught, they are the best duas. That is why for the person who knows Arabic and for the person who can memorize the duas, he should try his best to memorize the duas of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, believing that the power and the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam cannot be in the words of anyone else. And if you understand that, then you will never try to add few words in the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. Okay, du'a that we read after salah. Yeah. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. Tabarak ta yadal jalal ikram. People have added into this, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam wa ilayka yarja'u salam. It is as if they are saying that the Prophet ﷺ, he forgot or he didn't know that these words should be added into this dua. The dua that you recite after adhan, Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tamma wa salati al-qa'imah, ati Muhammadan al-wasilata wal-fadila, and then wab'athu maqaman mahmuda. Okay, people have added the words from their own into this dua. Ati Muhammadan al-wasilata wal-fadila wal-darajata al-rafi'a. Do you think that the Prophet ﷺ did not know to add these words? Or he deliberately missed these words? And he was stingy to teach his ummah about these precious words? Na'udhu billah. Fear Allah. Don't add any words into the prophetic du'as. The du'as that the Prophet has taught, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you tawfiq and ability to memorize these du'as, memorize them, believe that they are the best du'as. And if the person was to memorize those du'as, there are so many. Wallahi, if you were to memorize all those du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first of all, no one can ever claim that he has memorized all the du'as of the Prophet. There are so many, so many. But if you were to memorize majority of them, you will come to realize that you don't need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with anything else. You will always be reciting those du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So anyway, when it comes to the ruqya consists of the verse of the Quran or surah of the Quran only, or in addition to the ayat of the Quran or surah of the Quran, you may add the prophetic du'as. And if a person does not know the Quran, if the person does not know any du'a, then he can make du'a in his own words. And that du'a will be considered as a ruqya. You'll be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, grant me shifa. O Allah, protect me from evil eye. O Allah, protect me from black magic. O Allah, protect me from the shayateen, from the jinn. Or these kind of, you can make dua. And that dua would be considered as a ruqya. Ruqya is not something that has been turned nowadays into a specialty. Someone specializes in ruqya. Okay? What is their specialty? That they recite the ruqya for 1 hour and they charge you money for every single session. Okay? And then on top of this, they have the ability to communicate with the jinn. Many people, unfortunately, they don't do ruqya themselves thinking that if they start doing ruqya, then from the inside, the jinn will start speaking and they would be unable to communicate with the jinns. That's why it's better to get someone specialist, someone who is specialist in doing the ruqya. So let him communicate. Subhanallah. Is this what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach? No, he never said that. So ruqya is one of the permissible means. Okay, one of the permissible means of treatment, and it does not go against tawakkul. What we said last week, under the category of permissible means but disliked, and we mentioned the ruqya, that is the ruqya that when you ask someone to do ruqya on you, that is disliked. Why? We explained last night that you may end up relying on that person. And this is what happens, unfortunately. Your reliance is not on the Quran, not on the hadith, not on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, you rely on that person. If you are asked, if you are advised to recite Suratul Fatiha yourself, Suratul Fatiha is best of the ruqiyas. Ayatul Kursi, last two ayat of Suratul Baqarah, Mu'awwidhat, Suratul Ikhlas, Suratul Falaq, Suratul Nas, recite them. You say, I'm not sure. Why? It shows that your iman in the Quran is weak. Rather, you believe that if so-and-so would recite, then it will be more powerful. The power is in the words of Allah, in the Quran. The power does not rely on the person. Okay? So that is why that is disliked. But doing ruqya for yourself, that is something that is highly recommended. And it is not against tawakkul. Rather, it increases your tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do ruqya on himself. As he said, again, when we say he used to do ruqya on himself, it doesn't mean that he would spend, 1 hour, 2 hours doing session, ruqya session. No. He would recite a few du'as. For example, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, and she says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do ruqya on himself by reciting al-mu'awwidhat. Mu'awwidhat are the last three surahs of the Quran. Suratul Ikhlas, Suratul Falaq, and Suratul Nas. He used to do ruqya on himself by reciting mu'awwidhat on a regular basis. As we know that in another hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, it is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite these three surahs before going to sleep. And he would gather his both palms like this, and then he would recite and he blow on his palms, and then he would rub over his body, entire body. And then he would repeat, and he would read these three surahs again, second time, then third time. This was his ruqya. And then Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, during the last few days of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he became so weak and sometimes he was not conscious, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, I started doing ruqya by reciting these surahs, Suratul Ikhlas, Suratul Falaq, and Suratul Nas upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when it came to wiping over his body, I would recite and I would blow on his blessed hand, and I would grab his hand and would wipe over his own body for the purpose of barakah. Okay, so this is what is permissible. And there are number of ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that allow us to do ruqya. So there are certain conditions for ruqya. First one is that in the ruqya, there should not be anything that is considered as a shirk or anything that is haram. Anything that is shirk or haram. Okay? In the ruqya, whether in Arabic or other than Arabic, if you say, by the honor of Rasulullah, by the honor of Jibreel and Mikael and this and that, this will be classed as shirk. This is impermissible. The ruqya is to just simply recite the Quran or make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, ruqya, it is better to be in Arabic, but for someone who does not know Arabic, they can make ruqya in their own language. The third one is that the ruqya should not consist of words that have no meaning. Okay? It's important. Ruqya should not consist of words that have no meaning. Okay? And this is unfortunate that some people do. Okay? Some people who have taken this ruqya, or in Urdu we call it dam. Okay? They have taken this as a business. A person is sitting on a shrine next to a grave of say someone pious, someone who's buried in the grave, and he's sitting there and he receives the customers. And the customers are those who want him to do ruqya on them. And he never ever shares his ruqya with them. He never ever tells them what he says and what he decides. Why? Because he has his friendship with shayateen. All he does, he utters the words of shirk and khurafat and kufr in order to please shayateen. And when shayateen are pleased, they bring some kind of happiness to the person. And the person believes, you know, I went to so and so, and they recited something amazing, that I was cured. But that cure is temporary cure. You will never ever, never ever find a person who has been done ruqya, a type of ruqya that is not from the Quran, not from the hadith of Rasulullah, not a dua, rather it is something consisting of shirk or kufr or khurafat, and he has been cured. I can challenge a person who has been done ruqya by someone who recited types of words that are not understandable. You can't understand them. Okay? It never ever happens. Because what? Because shifa and cure comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cure comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cures those who ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for cure. Not the shayateen, not the jinnat. So this is the third condition, that the ruqya should not consist of words that are not understandable, or the words that have no meaning. Because there is high possibility that those words are the words of shayateen, and those are the words of shirk or kufr. So as long as you have these three conditions in the ruqya, it is permissible to do ruqya on yourself. And it is recommended that you do ruqya on yourself. Okay. Next question is, when do you do ruqya? When you are afflicted by any problem, or when you suffer from any kind of illness? Or are there any other times when you can do ruqya? Anytime. Yes. So this is another misconception with regards to the ruqya we have. That you do ruqya only if you are afflicted by black magic, or you are possessed by jinn, you are afflicted by evil eye, or someone has done something on you, then you do ruqya. It's a wrong conception. Ruqya is something that every Muslim should be doing every morning and evening anyway. Morning and evening adhkar are nothing other than ruqya. The morning adhkar are ruqya. The evening adhkar are ruqya. And Rasulullah has taught us many du'as and adhkar to be read in the morning and the evening. As he just said, ruqya means what? Protection. And the adhkar of the morning and evening, they grant you protection, the divine protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you need to do ruqya on yourself, not waiting for any problem or any illness, okay? Or not waiting until you are afflicted by a black magic. Or in fact, if you were to have the habit of doing the ruqya on yourself every day, every morning and evening, then by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be saved from the magic, from evil eye, from the jinn, from all these kind of problems. Yes, sometime you do additional ruqya. That's the additional ruqya. It's very similar to the dua. Every Muslim has to pray 5 times a day in every single salah. What we do, we make dua to Allah. But when you suffer from illness or any problem, you make extra dua. You make extra dua. This is how the ruqya works. You should be doing ruqya on yourself on a regular basis, every day. And if you are afflicted by any problem, anything that is not normal, then you may increase your ruqya. Increase the recitation of the Quran, increase the recitation of the du'as, and increase those du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught. Okay, does anyone have any question regarding the ruqya? Okay, jazakallah khairan, an important question. Brothers asked the question, how do you do ruqya on your children? Okay, as I said, ruqya is something that every Muslim should be doing every morning and evening, doing those adhkar. Okay? Parents, they should be doing ruqya on their children. Again, as I said, with regards to adults, the parents should not wait for their children to suffer from any kind of problem or health issue or any issue. And then they start panicking and asking, what type of ruqya should I do? And no. Rather, the parents should be doing ruqya on their children every day. Like other ruqyas, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has recommended a particular ruqya to be done on the children. And that is the dua that the Prophet ﷺ used to recite on Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anuhuma, on his grandchildren. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, U'idukuma bi kalimatillahi tammah min sharri kulli shaytanin wahammah wa aynil lammah wa min sharri kulli hasid. And there are some changes in the words in different narrations. أعيذكما بكلمات الله التامة من شر كل شيطان وهام وعين اللامة ومن شر كل حاسد. This is a ruqya that the Prophet used to do on Hassan and Hussein every day. And he said, this is the same ruqya by which Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام used to recite unto Ismail and Ishaq alayhim as-salam. Subhanallah. Such a beautiful. Okay? And unfortunately, majority of the parents, they don't know this ruqya. They don't know this dua. They wait for their children to be suffering from an illness or health issue, any other problem, then they ask for ruqya. But again, then they don't do ruqya themselves. They look for a raqi, someone specialist. And this is nothing other than ignorance or lack of knowledge of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, any other question related to the ruqya? Yes. The brother asking question is it permissible to blow? Yes. As I just mentioned, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, that's authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ used to recite these surahs, Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas. He used to blow on his hands and then wipe over his body. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, when the Prophet ﷺ was weak and he was unable to recite, I used to recite and I would blow on his hand and then would wipe his hand over his body. So it is permissible. And you do the same for your children. You recite and you blow on your children, inshallah. Fadal. Please ask him a question. Do you have to be in the state of wudu to do ruqya? Naam. Huh? No? Okay. I remember there was one question in the quiz night about the as part of the fiqh questions, the when the wudu is mandatory. And one of them was what? Is it not mandatory for reciting the Quran? Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah, so when it comes to doing the ruqya, the general ruling is that you don't have to be in the state of wudu. It is better. It is better. When it comes to being in the state of wudu, again, it is recommended by the Prophet ﷺ for us to stay in the state of wudu all the time. All the time. Not only for salah. And if only we adopt the habit of whenever we use the toilet, before we leave, we make wudu. And try to be in the state of wudu all the time. This is one of the ways of protecting yourself from shaitan. And especially those who suffer from the jinn problem, or even for those who suffer from the waswas, from the waswasa problem. It is very important for them to be in the state of wudu. Because being in the state of wudu, you are protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the answer to that question is that you don't have to be in the state of wudu for doing ruqya unless you are reciting the Quran by holding the mushaf. And even when it comes to holding the mushaf, there are two opinions with regards to this, whether it is mandatory to be in the state of wudu or not. Okay. Some fuqaha of the opinion that it's mandatory for you to be in the state of wudu if you would like to recite the Quran from the mushaf, from the copy of the Quran. In other words, in order to touch the copy of the Quran, you need to be in the state of wudu. Okay? But other fuqaha of the opinion that it is not compulsory, you can recite the Quran even if you are not in the state of wudu, although it is recommended. Okay. There are a couple of questions. Okay, we'll go to those questions after, inshallah. There's one more thing that we need to talk about quickly, inshallah. So we talked about the treatments, using medicines and ruqya. Yeah, brothers are asking a question. If you are doing ruqya on your children, do they have to be in front of you? Or if they are just running and playing around, can you do ruqya? Yes, you can. It is better if they are in front of you while you're reciting. Okay. At least you see them. Okay. But if they are playing around, and if it is difficult, sometimes it is difficult to control the kids. Okay. Then you can still do the ruqya, inshallah. Okay. The third thing that we need to discuss today is the amulets. What are those amulets? We call them, in our language, we call them taweez. Okay? Something that you hang on your neck, or you tie on your upper arm, or around your belly, or on the chest, okay? Or anywhere on the body. That is called taweez. That is basically something is written on a piece of paper or on a piece of leather that is used to be in the past. A small piece of leather, few words or few statements or whatever. There's some writing and is folded and then it is hung in the neck. Okay. What is the ruling of that? Clear cut? Okay. There are... First of all, we need to differentiate between these amulets, okay, the ta'weez. If the writing is other than Quran and other than the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or if it consists of anything other than that is permissible, okay, for example, it has a kind of drawing, or boxes, and their names are written. The name of Jibrail, Mikael, and then Israfil, then Ali, Hassan, Hussein, Fatima, Abdul Qadir Jilani, this and that. If it is like this, then no doubt it is shirk. The Prophet said, "Man allaqa tamimatan faqad ashrak." Whoever hangs a tamima, in Arabic it is called tamima. The Prophet says, whoever hangs a tamima, he has committed shirk. Okay. The same ruling of the ruqya also applies there. If something is written that is not readable, only lines, okay, or something that no one can read, then again it is shirk. It's not permissible. Because you are relying on a piece of paper. Whereas a believer, your reliance should be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second category is of the tamima or the amulet that consists of the ayat of the Quran, purely ayat of the Quran, or the du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has recommended. Then we can't call it shirk. We can't call it shirk. With regards to that, some scholars in the past and even this time are of the opinion that they are permissible. Some are of the opinion that they are permissible. But majority of the ulama of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah are of the opinion that they are not permissible. Why they are not permissible? Because this is a way of treatment that is not proven by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there is high chance for this kind of amulet and tamim and ta'weez to fall under the category of innovation and bid'ah. Because if this was something effective, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have recommended his companions, and he had 40 plus companions who knew how to write, and those who used to write the Quran in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have asked those companions to produce some small kind of ta'weez and amulets, and he would distribute. Or even whenever someone would approach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would have given them ta'weez. Just simply hang that in your neck and you will be cured. He never did that. There's no one single example of that. There is one narration that the scholars are of different opinion with regards to the authenticity of the narration. That is from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who says that we used to hang the ayat of the Quran in the necks of our children, in the necks of our children, for the purpose of protection. Based on this, or taking that statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, that some scholars of the opinion that it is permissible. Because you're not relying on anything other than the Quran. And the Quran is what? Quran is the sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the speech and the words of Allah. When you recite the Quran, you do ruqya, you rely on the Quran. It is as if you are relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? But that is why we cannot call it shirk, no doubt whatsoever. We can't call it shirk. Quran is not shirk, na'udhu billah. Rather, all we can say is that there is a possibility that this may fall under the category of innovation, because this is something that the Prophet ﷺ never did. He never advised. None of his companions ever did. Okay? And it is something that was not done during the time of the Prophet ﷺ. That is why it is better to avoid the amulets completely. Even if they consist of the ayat of the Quran and the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay. Let's go through these online questions. It is haram to get vaccinated if you are young and healthy. For example, COVID vaccination. No, it is not haram. Okay. How do we reconcile the principle of actions being by intention, if one against themselves. Okay. Yeah. Someone asked a question, how do we reconcile between the principle that the actions are by intention and the person making dua against himself unintentionally, as I just mentioned the hadith. The reconciliation is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged us to utilize all the means by which you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you make dua to Allah, you have to be conscious and you have to have full concentration. As the Prophet also said in another hadith, لَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ دُعَاءَ قَلْبٍ لَاهِنْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not answer the dua of the heart that is not attentive. The heart, you raise your hand, keep looking around, you know, and you're making Allahumma ghafirli, Allahumma ghafirli, Allahumma. That's it. Because your heart, your mind is not there. Allah is not going to answer the dua. Okay? So although you may say, my intention is to make dua, but that is not true intention. Okay? And in that kind of situation, position, if you make dua, you may end up making dua against yourself. Okay? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may accept that dua against you. Because of your thinking that you have already intention. You have intention of making dua. But concentration is not there. So that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked us to not to pray when we are in state of fatigue or tiredness. When people recite on glass of water and then drink or give to others to drink, is this permissible? Yes, it is permissible. There are ahadith of the Prophet sallam that allow this. And one thing we need to bear in mind when you do ruqya, when you recite something on a food or a drink or water or something, then it should not be simple blow. It should not be simple blow like this. Rather, the actual way is that you recite and you have a bit of your spit mixed in that food or in that drink. That is the actual way, not simple blow. I read somewhere that when doing ruqya on himself before sleeping, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to blow on his palm in the first and recite surah. Okay. Someone says, I read that the Prophet sallallahu used to blow on his hands first and then would recite the ayat of the Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq, and Surah Al-Nas. No, the correct way is to recite and then blow on your hands, as other ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu, including the hadith of Aisha, confirms that she said that the Prophet sallallahu used to do ruqya himself, and then when he was unable to do, I used to recite and I would blow on his hands. So that hadith confirms the order, that recitation comes before blowing. The person needs to blow on his hands and rub his body every time he does ruqya? No. Blowing on body, it is not compulsory. Okay? Yeah, any dua, the ayat of the Quran, for example, Ayatul Kursi or Mu'avvidat, you recite, you don't have to blow on your body. Okay? But before going to sleep, if you were to recite these three surahs, Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas, then it is recommended, because this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Other than that time, if you want to blow, you can, and if you don't, then it is not going to cause any problem for you, inshallah. One thing I would highlight here is that some people have the habit of blowing on your body after doing the morning and evening adhkar. Okay, that is not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, if you're doing anything extra other than the morning evening adhkar, then you may blow on your body. Okay, you can, it is permissible. Why? Because the morning and evening adhkar are taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a specific way, and you have to follow that way. If you add, as he just said about the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you add something or you try to amend something, then it is not correct, and it may take you into bid'ah and innovation. What is the example of words that have no meaning? Okay, the words that have no meaning, obviously I don't do that type of ruqya anyway. So the people, as I just gave an example, the people are known for this business. Okay, they do, you know, they have, someone showed me a ta'weez a while ago, And I could not read those words. It appeared like the proper words of shayateen. Okay? They come up with the weird words and names that someone was, you know, a jinn during the time of Fir'aun, and someone who was friend of Qarun or Haman or this and that. All shayateen. Okay? So these type of words that are not known, or we don't know the meaning. Is listening to the ruqya on TV good or more powerful reciting yourself? Definitely reciting yourself. That is proper ruqya. Actual ruqya is to recite yourself. Listening ruqya is less effective. I want to know how to make treatment with this thing. Okay. Someone who sees things or bad stuff. Okay. If someone sees a bad stuff, or you probably mean in the dreams, then that is definitely, you know, different topic with regards to dreams. There are, you know, certain rules or rulings that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us with regards to good dream, bad dream, okay, and what to do. And briefly, I can mention the bad dreams. If you see something that is frightening or something upsetting for you, and you wake up, then you, all of a sudden you change your side. You say, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim." You blow on your left 3 times, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim." "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim." 3 times you do this, and then you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His protection. And ask Allah, "Oh Allah, whatever I have seen in my dream that is upsetting to me or is something frightening, oh Allah, protect me from it." That's it. And another thing to be added here, that never ever try to get such dream interpreted. And unfortunately, again, when it comes to the dreams, these kind of rulings, most of the people, they are aware of the rulings, and they are more, you know, interested in getting these kind of dreams interpreted. If someone sees something good, they may stay quiet. But if they see something bad, they tell everyone. Or they have, you know, that feeling that, you know, it has to be interpreted. No, no, no. The Prophet's advice is, if you see something upsetting or something that is not, that apparently doesn't look good in your dream, then don't get it interpreted. Because once it is interpreted, it will happen the way it is interpreted. Okay? Even if the dream is good. Okay? Sometimes what happens, the dream apparently seems not good. But if it is interpreted, it depends on the expertise of the person who interprets. If it is interpreted the wrong way, then it would happen the way it has been interpreted. I read a while ago that someone asked Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah about their dream, that they saw themselves doing the tawaf of the Kaaba completely naked. It is upsetting, you know. There are a lot of people and you're naked and not wearing anything. You're doing tawaf. Sheikh Uthaymeen's reply was, you know, it is a good news. The good news. And the interpretation was that it is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted your umrah or hajj, and Allah has completely wiped out your sins. As the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever performs Hajj and he does not do anything wrong in the Hajj, he comes back as if he was born today. Okay, and when the person is born, all of us, we come into this dunya, we came into this dunya completely naked. Okay, so sometime the dream seemed. So just imagine if that person would have asked someone else that dream, okay, and it was interpreted in a wrong way, then according to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, it would happen. Okay? The person may be humiliated. If the person is naked in front of others, it may be the person is humiliated or disgraced. Okay. Can you do ruqya on someone who doesn't believe in the Quran as a cure due to low iman? Okay. Someone who does not believe in the Quran. Okay, what do you think? Or say in simple words, a non-Muslim. Can you do ruqya on non-Muslim? No. Why not? Why not? Who said no? The Quran, Kalam of Allah. Okay, you can. Unless the person is a type of disbeliever who insults the Quran, insults Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you should not be doing that type of cooperation, or should not be helping such person anyway. Someone who is a type of disbeliever, that he, for example, he curses the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he curses the religion of Islam or the Quran or Allah, he swears at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then no, don't help, because ruqya or reading Quran is a type of help. You don't help such people. Okay. Can I mix my ruqya and adhkar together and then blow? It is better to do adhkar, morning and evening adhkar separate and ruqya separate. If you want to do something additional, as I said, the adhkar should be recited the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has. For example, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us to say seven times, Hasbi Allahu la ilaha illahu wa alayhi tawakkaltu huwa rabbul arshil azim. Okay, stick to that number 7 times. The Prophet sallam recommended to recite Bismillahi alladhi la yadurru ma ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis samaa'i wa huwa samii'ul 'aliim, 3 times morning, 3 times, stick to that number. Okay, so adhkar, the way the Prophet sallam has taught, stick to that way, that specific way. If you want to do ruqya, do something additional, and then you can blow on yourself. Yes. No, doesn't matter, inshallah. Yeah, that's fine, inshallah. Okay. Can you say Bismillah 3 times and blow on your hands or certain part of your body that is in the pain? Yes, you can. Can you say Bismillah and then blow on your hands and then wipe over the part of the body that is hurting? Bismillah only can be, but the actual recommendation of the Prophet ﷺ is the dua. Okay, the number of du'as. If someone is doing ruqya on you, they may say Bismillahi turbatu ardina biriqati ba'dina. Okay, this one. Another one the Prophet ﷺ has taught to say, Bismillahi arqiq min kulli shay'in yu'dhik. Okay, so you say Bismillah and then you say some additional words, arqiq min kulli shay'in yu'dhik. The Prophet ﷺ, I think it is Abdullah ibn Abbas or someone, sorry, I can't remember, the companion came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, O Messenger of Allah, he complained about a pain in his body somewhere. The Prophet ﷺ said, place your hands on it and say 7 times, A'udhu bi'izzatillahi wa qudratihi min sharri ma ajidu wa uhadhir. And he says, I did it, I read 7 times and I was cured. Okay. So there are a number of du'as that the Prophet ﷺ has taught. Okay. Can the person who should sleep if he's tired and cannot concentrate combine? Okay. Can the person who should sleep and he's so tired, can he combine two prayers? It depends on his condition. In some circumstances, he can. In some. Okay. Again, this is not a fiqh lesson, so I'm not going to go into the detail of that. Is it haram to be rocking when reading adhkar or reciting the Quran? Are there any students who are in the hifz class? Okay. Those, yeah, Mohsin is there. You rock when you memorize? Okay. Yeah. Can you do that? Huh? No? Why? Yeah, some ulama are very strict on this. They say, no, this is the way of Jews. Okay. But this is generally, if you're not following the Jews, if you're not doing that in order to copy them, rather, for some people, it helps in memorization. Okay, if that's the case, then we can't say it is haram or they are committing something, you know, major sin or something like that. It is better not to, because the proper way of reciting the Quran, that you are in the state of calmness. Okay, you don't need to move, and you know, as some reciters, you know, their face goes red and eyes red and you know, too much. So that is not from the Sunnah. Okay. But if you are in the state of calmness, it is better. Okay, Likewise, when you recite the ruqya or recite the Quran, it's better to be in the state of calmness, inshallah. Sorry? Yes. Jazakallah khairan. Brother asking question, that statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, in which he says that we used to hang the ayat of the Quran in the necks of our children, was this during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or afterwards? Allahu a'lam. Okay. What I remember, that there is no mention in that narration whether it was during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or after. Yes, I know. You know, it depends on the ruling. If it was during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it means we have approval. Okay. If that was the case, then no one amongst the scholars would have objected to that. It seems, Allahu a'lam, that it was after. That is why the approval of the Prophet ﷺ is not there. And if the approval is not there, that is why the scholars have differed. Okay, inshallah. I hope there's no more question, inshallah. Okay, jazakumullah khairan. Yes, brother. Okay, we talked about the minor. But they're asking a question, what if someone has a apparently minor illness, but he doesn't want to use a medicine, and he wants to bear the pain, but at the same time, he cannot make sujood. For example, a person has a severe headache, and he cannot make sujood. Okay, then the principle here would be, if that illness is preventing the person from fulfilling his obligations, then he has to get the treatment. Then getting the treatment would be compulsory. Okay, the person can't say that I'm gonna bear the pain, and then he can't make the sajda. No. Okay. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.